Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's great to see everybody today. So just as a heads up, as you came in today, you received a bulletin. On the back of that bulletin, it had in the sermon notes that Pastor Jay was going to be the teacher today. And that was the plan, but Jay is sick. So instead of Jay, you have me. And what he's going to teach, what he was going to teach today, he's going to teach at the end of the month, so you won't miss out on what he was going to bring for you today. I don't know if you remember your junior high years, or if you call them your middle school years. I will be honest with you, and I will say they are relatively fuzzy for me as well, all right? However, there are a few things that I do remember from my junior high years, looking back over time, and in particular, I remember a Sunday school teacher that I had, and his name was Jeff Wooster, or Woostester. I don't know how you would pronounce that. I don't think I ever got it right. So we're just going to call him Jeff, all right? And Jeff was my junior high Sunday school teacher a little bit into high school, and I always get the feeling looking back over time that he must have drawn the short straw when it came to teaching the class in regards to just like, hey, I have to deal with this group. We were at best a rowdy group, not very attentive and hard to handle, but Jeff loved teaching and loved teaching our group, and I don't remember why or know why, but The thing that I remember the most is that Jeff had an incredible love for the Word of God. And he wanted so much to impart that to us in the junior high classroom. Even though we were difficult to discipline and we didn't always listen and we spoke out of turn, he was so persistent in his effort to make sure that we were learning the Word of God. And the one thing that he would do constantly, every week, we knew this was going to happen, he would have us memorize Scripture. It was very important to him that we would memorize Scripture. I mean, it was so important. He never, week in and week out, he would never let that slide or let it go. He wanted to do that. And so he had to figure out a lot of ways to make that happen, but it was important. And there was many passages, but there was one in particular that stands out to me the most, and that particular passage was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And as he began to teach us and have us memorize that, I look back on that quite a few years now down the road, and that passage of Scripture still sticks out to me because he was so persistent and having us learn that passage of Scripture. In the first part of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, the very first part says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Or you might, in your version, it might say all Scripture is breathed by God or is the breath of God. But essentially what that first part means, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to understanding what God wants us to know and wants us to learn, is that when we read Scripture, it is God's breath on the pages that we have. It's what God has given us so that we can understand so much in our relationship with Him. But it's if you could just remember one thing today about 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, it's God's breath on a page. God certainly gives the words to be written down by the authors that put the Bible together over several thousand years. And so we have this passage of Scripture. And then the question begins, if you think about this. Now, when I was memorizing in junior high, I really didn't think about what it meant. I just knew we had to memorize it. But if you think about that question, well, what does it mean that all Scripture is breathed out by God? What does that mean for us? Because a lot of times when we approach the Word of God, and we're in this series in the Bible, and we're talking about having confidence in the Bible itself. And maybe for some of us, having a renewal of excitement and being refreshed in our approach of Scripture itself. But what does it mean? Because sometimes what we can do, if we're not careful, we can just simply look at the Bible as a book of rules, as a way that we do things and don't do things. And so we approach the Word of God, and it's like, okay, I'm going to learn something else that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing. And there is a little bit of truth to that, for sure. But it is also, because Scripture is breathed out by God, it is also a way that we can know God. And God wants you to know Him. He really wants you to know Him. And so He's given us His Word so that we can simply know God. And then after we begin to know God, here's what begins to happen in our life, is that we begin to live a life that actually pleases God. You see, we focus, a lot of times we'll focus on the beginning part of that idea of, oh, it's all about rules. And I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to let God down. I don't want to be reminded of the things that I constantly do that I'm not supposed to do. So we kind of veer away from staying in the Word of God itself and studying it and doing all the things that God wants us to do. So it's a way, again, it's a way to know God. It's a way to understand how we live in order to please God. And it's a way that we live to glorify God Himself. The way that we choose to live each day can give glory to God, can let people know, hey, there's something inherently that I'm choosing to do that is typically countercultural, which means, hey, culture is saying, hey, this is the way you should do things, this is the way you should live. And I'm choosing to do things not because I think I'm better than people, but because God has given me direction on how I'm to live. And when people see my choices, when they see the things that I'm doing, they don't go, oh, that person's so good. No, they give glory to God because they know us. And they know it's not of us. They think, oh, there must be something inherently that you're doing that's different. So we give glory to God. I don't know if we will really see on this side of eternity the way that we impacted people in our life. And maybe we'll get a glimpse of that on the other side of eternity, about how someone saw us make a choice or lived through a difficult circumstance, and because of that they're thinking, oh man, when I face hardship and when I face difficulties, I wanna go through that like you did. And then it's a way for us to give, to really love God and to be obedient to God. So the more we learn about God, the more we understand the way that God wants us to live, the way that God wants us to glorify Him. And love and obedience, listen, love and obedience go hand in hand together. They're lockstep. If you say, oh, I can be disobedient and still be loving, I would say to you, probably not. It probably doesn't really work that way. When we obey God, we show God that we inherently love Him by our obedience. Scripture actually gives us that indication. So the beginning of it is, hey, all Scripture is breathed out by God. All of it. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And then it gives us four specific things that Scripture does because of that. It says that all Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So it's hey, we begin with this idea that when we receive Scripture, we get to be taught by it. We get to be have some reproof, or other passages or versions will say rebuke, and some correcting, and then some training, so that we can grow in our righteousness. So I'm going to take each one of these just real quickly, and just go through each one. So the first one is that it's profitable for teaching. Now, typically when we talk about teaching and the things that we believe, that's the word doctrine. And doctrine simply is this: what do you believe? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about how you can be saved? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about creation? All the things that Scripture teaches us, right? So what is it as we're growing in our understanding of the Word of God? Now, I don't know about you, but I would say probably in this room that all of us would acknowledge at some level that we know more about the Bible today at our current age than we did when we first started to learn the Word of God. Would we all agree with that? Yes. So you're just a little bit smarter than you thought you were, right? But we need to have an understanding. There needs to be an understanding, like, hey, this is what I believe. This is what Scripture is showing me. This is what I'm growing in my understanding. Again, who is God and who is Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all the things related to what Scripture. How do I receive salvation? If someone came up to you today and say, hey, I wanna know more about how I can become a follower of Jesus, what would you say to them? Well, Scripture tells us, hey, we should always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have that is within us. And so we need to grow in our understanding of the Word of God. And then the next one is reproof. Now, you probably memorized it with the word rebuke. That's everybody goes, oh, great, rebuking. Somebody's going to rebuke me. All the men in the room, we go, we have enough rebuking as we go through the week. We don't need more when we open up the Word of God. But think about it from this standpoint. When we open up the Word of God, it has an incredible ability to shed light on the things that we're struggling with in our relationship with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to the joints and the marrow and into our deepest person. And it reveals everything. And so when we open it up, what it has the ability to do, and it's not because God's saying, well, hey, I don't like you. I don't like the way you're living your life. No, God's saying, hey, I wanna show you a better way to live that is in step and in tune with the way that I've created you to be as a person. But along the way, all of us need a little reproof or a little rebuke. Sometimes we need more than others. Amen? And it's not intended for us to be shamed by it or feel awful for it. It's to enlighten us so that we can understand, again, there's a better way to live life. And we need that. For example, now, we don't think about this as much of a big deal, but there's a passage in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, that has some powerful words. And in our culture, we need these words because we're really thinking that this is the way that we're supposed to live. And it says this. Listen to what Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says. Do everything without arguing and complaining. Oh, Lord, help us all. And then it goes on to say, so that you, in a crooked and depraved generation, can shine like stars. Literally, when we don't argue and we don't complain, and again, if there's one thing that we need a lot of help through the Holy Spirit to do, it's that. specifically. And we need some rebuking with that and some reproof. And we need to change our course and our direction. So there's teaching, there's reproof, and then there's correcting in our approach. And that's the correction is saying, hey, God's saying, let me give you a better direction to go in. Let me give you a better direction for your life than the current approach that you're taking. Sometimes when it comes to the correcting that we need in life, sometimes when we're receiving it, God knows where we need to go and where we need to head. And if we're not careful, and if we don't listen to the correction and the new direction that God is setting for us, we just tend to go in a direction that continues to create more problems and more difficulties, and climbing out of those holes becomes a whole lot more difficult. I don't know many people who struggle with addiction, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever other addiction they might have, who don't wish that they would have stopped a whole lot earlier than what they did because of the damage that they did along the way. And sin has a way of doing that to us. And so there's correcting, and then the last one is training. And we need, and for righteousness sake, and we need that constant training in our life. We need the Word of God to constantly remind us and renew us and refresh us and set a course for us that is better than the course that we would typically choose for ourselves. Man, the Word of God is so amazing and so wonderful and so powerful. It's incredible what it does when we open it up. It's just phenomenal in that way. And so there's so much God saying, hey, Scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable, so it's good for, it's useful for teaching, reproof, for correcting, for training in righteousness, and it gives us that direction. So, how do we go about making that happen? How do we go about seeing those things come and start creating fruit in our life so that there's evidence of that happening with us? And so here's what I would suggest. There's four things simply, and they're real simple and they're real easy, but we don't tend to do them very well. How's that for you? Okay? First one is when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to this Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, when it comes to it, our first approach is not to start reading it, but we will, just hold on. Our first approach is before we start reading it, we should cherish it. We're doing a series because there's a lack of cherishing of the Word of God inside and outside of the church today. It's become more where we're more indifferent. We think about it, but we're not as excited about it. But I want to say to you, the way that you approach Scripture with your attitude makes all the difference in the world. If you come in thinking, oh my goodness, I cannot wait for the Bible to be taught today. I cannot wait for the Word of God to be open. I cannot wait for God to speak to me. I cannot wait for me to hear something that I hear that maybe I didn't know that I needed. I mean, I'm really excited about the Word of God. And most of us come in and we go, oh my goodness. We love the singing, but we'll get through the teaching. And Lord, if you speak to me today and I don't like it, I'll just kind of tune you out. Because let's be honest, there's just a lot of indifference when it comes to the Word of God today. But what if we began, before we begin reading it, what if we began with cherishing the Word of God? And our attitude was an attitude of, Lord, speak to me. When you say, Lord, that you have given me your Word because it's your breath on a page, that it's the breath that you breathed out, man, I want to know more about your Word. And so we cherish it. And then we read it. How often should you read it? I'm gonna give you a word. You ready? Often. Often. Maybe when you wake up. Maybe when you go to bed. And maybe a few times in between. That we're opening up the Word of God. All of us, beyond gathering for church and maybe a Bible study, all of us should be studying and reading the Word of God. We should want to know literally the breath that God has breathed out, the words on the page. We should want to know that. And then, so we cherish it, we read it, and then we think on it. We think on it. We need to meditate on the Word of God. And you might groan at this, but I'll say it anyway. We need to memorize it. Thank you for the groan. You are a comedian. Thank you. We need to memorize it. It needs to be a part of who we are. We need to not just be able to open it up, but there needs to be some memory that goes with it. So here, I'll just give you a real simple challenge, okay? Real simple. It's not overly complicated. Start, because today is the first day of the week, but start on Monday and take a passage of Scripture. And I'll give you the first one to do, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And write it on some 3x5 cards. You can laminate it if you want, but write it on some 3x5 cards and put it in places where you're going to see during the week. Most of us go to the fridge a lot, so the fridge would be a great place to go, right? I know some people that have laminated it and also have put it in their shower. I'm not saying you have to do that, but it might be a place for you. You might want to put it in your car, but please don't read and drive at the same time. Okay, that's not cool. But you might want to put it in your car. You might want to put it, again, right by your nightstand. You might want to put it somewhere where you're going to see it a lot. And just that entire week, just memorize that passage of Scripture for the next 6-7 days. And then the next Monday, pick another verse. And now you're going to have the 2 Timothy passage in your head, and then you're going to start another one. They don't have to be long verses. They can be short. You don't have to do books of the Bible. Just do a verse, maybe one, maybe two verses. But start memorizing the Word of God and see what God does when you begin to do that and prioritize cherishing and reading and thinking. And the last one is this, that we need to dig deeper in our understanding of Scripture. We need to dig deeper. We need to get involved in some studies that challenge us. We need to listen to some teachers. So in the history of all time, like all time, there has never been more access to the Word of God. There's never been more access to Bible studies and devotionals and teachings and other preachers and teachers of the Bible. The access is incredible. The amount is phenomenal. And we have access to all of that. And we need to be people who dig deep into the Word of God. And we need to have people who teach us and direct us and guide us and help us to understand the Word of God better. There's never a point in our life where we should stop growing in our understanding of the Word of God. There's never an age where we go, all right, I'm done. I've got it all understood. We're going to continue to grow. So we cherish it, we read it, we think on it, and we dig deep into it. And the reason we do that, listen to this as we wrap up today, is so that, church, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. That's how Timothy, Paul, is when he has these writing to Timothy, finishes out what he wants us to understand. That it's God's breath on a page, it's useful, it's profitable, and then it's so that we can live a life, so that we can take our understanding of Scripture and that we can apply it and live by it. So that we can apply it and live by it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gathering today, and we thank you for your word. And Father, may we be a church. May each and every one of us have a passion and a desire to cherish your word, to read, to think, and to dig into it. Father, may you impress that on our hearts today. May we take that today, and Father, may the growth that we have in our life just show a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And we thank you for that today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.